We're going to turn back today to where we have been reading in the Gospel of Mark. But we're not going to stay there. We're going to visit Mark chapter 4 for a moment. It is really so intriguing how the Lord has put in the various Gospel accounts these similar words regarding the same parables and incidents. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 4 first of all to get back to where we were in November, away back in November. Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. We will read these words of our Lord Jesus Christ down through this parable that he gave. Mark chapter 4, let us give our attention to God's word at verse 3. Hearken. The original word is hear ye. Okay, acuite. Hear ye. Like the old town crier. Hearken, behold. You want to note this. You want to get this. He's emphasizing how this one needs to be gotten. There went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no rest, no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. We'll end our reading there in the Gospel of Mark. And I would point out that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all point out the fact that there was to be as much as 100-fold. That is the impressive thing that God can bring from one seed. Such a vast blessing. So let's turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and we'll look at one verse here which completes the explanation of the parable. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. And this will provide something of a motto text for the year 2020. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. We'll end our reading there and trust that the Lord will bless this brief reading from His holy word, that we would understand, every one of us, that this parable that Jesus gave of the four types of ground, every one of us fall into one of these categories. Every one of us. And we must determine where we are with the living God by the consideration of these. 2019 is rapidly drawing to a close, and 2020 is quickly approaching. In 2019, you remember we studied the three bad and unproductive soils that are spoken of in this parable. They have the wayside ground, the stony ground, and the thorny ground, all not good. The wayside ground sets before us people that attend upon the worship of God merely as a form, merely as something to be done, merely as a custom. They are not thirsting. They are not thirsting for lasting benefits for the soul. So we can ask ourselves today, am I thirsting for lasting benefits for my soul? While the worship of God proceeds the minds of the stony, of the wayside ground hearers are not on the Lord. They are not on the word of the Lord, but their minds are sometimes thousands of miles away. They're thinking about other things. They're not concerned to receive the word of God at all. Secondly, the stony ground hearer. We've pointed out the distracted hearer, the wayside ground. Now we come to the temporary hearer of the stony ground. The stony ground hearer eagerly hears the word and immediately embraces it, but without counting the cost of discipleship. There has not been in the stony ground hearer a deep work of the Spirit convicting them of sin. So when persecutions, when the sun's up and life gets hard, the troubles and afflictions come upon them, they quickly fall away. So the stony ground hearer is a temporary hearer. Thirdly, the thorny ground hearer. The thorny ground hearer is the idolatrous hearer. The thorny ground hearer associates with the people of God, may even give some good evidences of grace in the life. They may even practice some personal and family devotional times. But as Jesus said, the cares or the pleasures of the world hold dominion over the heart. There's always something that they desire more than holiness. There is always something that they desire more than holiness and more than walking with God. We thank God we're coming to the end of 2019. We come to 2020. And thank God there's a fourth type of ground. We can rejoice in the fourth type of ground. This is the good ground. It gives us all some hope as we look forward. When Christ preached, His sermons did not change all the people. You know that because they crucified Him. When the apostles preached, they had some converts, but it was always a small minority of the population, and even at times around the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 were saved on one occasion and another 5,000 were saved on another occasion, you must remember that in both of those cases, that 3,000 and 5,000 were a small minority of the vast numbers that dwelt in Jerusalem and those multitudes that had joined with them for the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost. Okay, so even that 8,000 saved, just a few, in the midst of all those who had come to that great feast. Christ is here in this parable telling us all that only a relatively few of our hearers will actually prove to be genuine believers in the end. I have to say that such a reality should be such a thing that strikes terror in the heart. Am I one of the 75% that ultimately perish? Or am I one of the 25% of what Jesus is teaching. It is, even as Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, few there be that find it. And we know that across professing Christianity in the world, I'll never forget the statistics that Billy Graham gave as he traveled all over the world. He said that he believed that 10% or less of all the people in the houses of worship actually knew the Lord. That's a very small minority. It is few that will surely be used in God's purposes. The few God will carry forward and make great impacts for His kingdom. He will use that few to be blessed and to be a blessing in this ungodly world. Think of that one tiny seed that produces all of those others, even hundreds of others, just like itself. Now, taking Luke chapter 8 and verse 15 as our text, the reason for that is because it is the fullest explanation of the good ground of all the gospel writers here in chapter 8 of Luke and verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So I would say, let us ask this text some questions. Only three questions. What makes the ground good ground? Secondly, what is an honest and a good heart spoken of? And then thirdly, what is the fruit? So first of all, what makes this ground good ground? Verse 15 of Luke 8, but that on the good ground are they. There it is. Good ground. Now you know that because of the curse on the ground, there is no naturally good ground. If you go to farm anywhere on the face of the earth, you're going to have to deal with weeds. Anywhere on the planet, you're going to have to deal with weeds. Even in those arid regions of the earth, there are plants that are very noxious and are not commodious to growing crops. So, in order for ground to be good ground, it has to be made good by those removing the thorns and the thistles that God promised Adam would be the curse on the ground because of his disobedience in the Garden of Eden. And the ground must not only be freed from the thorns and the thistles and the weeds for the crops to grow, but the ground must be fertilized. It must be plowed. It must be worked in order for the seed to penetrate the ground. There has to be a plowing so that it will receive the seed that is to be sown. Yes, and when God looks at the ground, He says that the good ground are they. Represents people. They. Okay. Personal pronoun. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only wicked continually. Genesis 6 verse 5. And not naturally good ground at all. When Paul declares the utter sinfulness of humanity in Romans 1 and in Romans chapter 3, he was simply quoting Psalm 14, and Psalm 53. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. It wasn't a new gospel he was preaching. It was the same gospel that was preached in the ancient time. This making the ground good is the work of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit of God that comes and takes the plow of the holy law of God and breaks up the fallow ground of the naturally depraved and rebellious heart of man. Oh, praise God. Bunyan said, when God puts the plow of the law into the heart, God intends a harvest. How wonderful. We praise God for the work of the law of bringing us down to the dust before God to see our absolute hopelessness. And it brings us to Christ, who is our hope. Now, He does this, the Spirit of God does this by convincing the depraved heart of its utter wickedness. Jeremiah 23, verse 29, the Lord said, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces?" When the Spirit of God takes the word and uses it as a hammer on our heart, how wonderful to be broken. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, Thou wilt not despise. God takes away the heart of stone and gives the heart of flesh. The Holy Spirit first convinces the world of what? Sin. John chapter 16 and verse 7. The great ministry of the Holy Spirit is convincing the world of sin. And next, the Holy Spirit regenerates the sinner. What does that mean? He gives life, spiritual life, where there was none before. He bestows that life and light. He gives the sinner these glorious sovereign gifts of faith and repentance. Thus, the ground is made good. What is meant by the good ground? It is ground that God has worked on. He is the husbandman. That old word is, He's the farmer. God is the farmer over this. So, we've answered that first question. What is a good ground? Secondly, what is an honest and good heart? We read here in verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Okay. An honest and a good heart is a subdued heart. A heart that receives the Word of God humbly. Receives the Word of God in humility. That heart has the upright intention and desire to profit from the Word. Now let me repeat that one. An honest and good heart has the upright intention and desire to profit from the Word. Now I'm going to quote at length the great Charles Simeon, the minister of Holy Trinity Church there in Cambridge, England. He was the minister there for over half a century. And he says this, "The honest heart will not argue against the Word, will not object to God's Word, nor criticize God's Word. The good, honest heart will not try to change, to corrupt, or to pervert the Word, but will accept the plain and simple meaning of the Word of God. Such a heart wants to be instructed by the Word and then will do what the Word requires." Now, an honest heart understands the Word, tastes its sweetness, and embraces it as its own. An honest heart understands the word, tastes the sweetness of the word, and embraces it as its own. Benjamin Keach, I call him an old Baptist Puritan. He was way back there with them in England. He said, "This good heart is humble, not thinking more highly of itself than it ought to think, but heeds," Proverbs 3:7, "be not wise in thine own eyes, and listens to the counsel of James 4:6. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Now, what is a good and honest heart? I think it can be defined by that shortest word there, that heart has the upright intention and desire to profit from the Word of God. Well, we come to our last question. We have asked, what is good ground? And then, what is a good and honest heart? Well, let's notice here in verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Having heard the word, the good ground hearers keep the word and bring forth fruit with patience. And what is this fruit? The old writer said, in pretty much the unanimity, the old white writer said that this fruit is the fruit of holiness. Romans 6:22, "Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." Now here is a tremendous statement from O'Keech. He said, "Holiness and good works cannot justify our persons, but holiness and good works can certainly justify our faith." That's a good statement from our old brother. Holiness and good works cannot justify our persons before God, but holiness and good works can certainly justify our faith before men and before ourselves when they see it and when we actually see it. Man, are you ever just stand back in amazement and you said, "Wow, God just did that in my heart. That's not natural. I mean, that's not something I would have come up with on my own. That was God. I'm amazed." Now, what is holiness? Holiness can be defined as the very opposite of the three other kinds of ground. When you think about that, holiness is the very opposite of those first three soils. Holiness is treasuring God's Word in the heart. Rather than just saying, "I can go wherever it wants to go. I don't care what it's been said. I don't care what it's intended for." But holiness is treasuring God's Word in the heart. Second kind of ground. Holiness is the opposite of the stony ground. It is going deeply into the things of God. And I shared with some of the young men last night what Brother Tim had shared with me. A little 5-minute clip by Vody Bauckham. It's absolutely tremendous. Anybody else watch it? Y'all didn't watch it? You need to. Brother, I'm going to tell you what he said. And here it is. And the gist of it is that the normal Christian life, we got the normal Christian life where God has the normal Christian life right here. We put it down here. And if a young man has a passion to study the Word of God, if a young man has a passion to study theology and church history, then immediately the others in he needs to go to seminary. Get him out of here. We don't want him being one of us and making us think we should live like that. Dumbing down in the public education system Same kind of thing going on in the professing church. The dumbing down of Christianity. God doesn't expect me to love His Word and be passionate about studying His Word, being passionate about theology and church history. You got to be kidding. No. That is. Holiness is the very opposite of the shallow view of what real Christianity is. And then, the third kind of ground, you know, is that thorny ground. Holiness is being so taken up with the Lord and with His kingdom interests that the pleasure craze of our times does not take away the heart from Christ. Holiness is being so taken up with the Lord and with His kingdom interest that the pleasure craze of our times does not take away our heart from Christ. See what holiness is? Holiness is the very opposite of those first three kinds of ground. Now, as we saw the many seeds clustered together on that object lesson plant, even so, the fruit of the Spirit forms a most lovely cluster. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now there's a word you need to study on because it means patience. Patience. We need lots of patience. We're studying in the Holy War this morning in Family Sunday School. And I think the most overwhelming thing I saw in that section was that Christ is so utterly patient with us. I mean, if this up somebody like me, I'd say, get it over with. Kill them all. You know, but Christ is so absolutely patient. He puts up with so much down here. How wonderful. And so we are to manifest that fruit in our lives. Gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness. Meekness and temperance, those last two. We got to think about that because they're not a part of our normal everyday language. Meekness. What is meekness? I say that the meekest man on the earth was Moses. That's what God said. Moses did not get even when it was in his power to do so. His brother and sister rebelled against him in the wilderness. Sister came down with leprosy, old girl. Too bad you got what's coming to you, old girl. Ha ha! No, he didn't say that. He prayed. God healed her. Meekness is not getting even when it's in your power to do so. And temperance is self-control. It's very difficult. Very difficult to control our emotions. Very difficult to control our emotions. Very difficult to control our appetites. But a part of the ministry of the Spirit within, we are to control ourselves for the glory of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You know, if we are the good ground, then we will bear much fruit in 2020. It's only the good ground that is real Christianity. Let's understand. It's only the good ground. Some will bear more fruit than others, but all true believers will bear some fruit. This parable is for every one of us. This parable is for the children. This parable is for the adults. This parable is for the young families. This parable is for the older ones of us. We are to judge ourselves by this parable. Not to judge others, but rather ourselves. If you are happy enough existing as one of the first three types of soil, then I guarantee you that you will not be happy eternally. I ask you today, do you treasure up the Word of God in your heart? Are you satisfied with a form, with a shallow profession of Christianity? Are you okay with just going through the motions as though you were a Christian, but you really aren't? It is high time to awake to the life and power of true godliness. Don't be satisfied being an almost Christian, but be an altogether Christian. Otherwise, the noxious weeds and thorns, the cares and pleasures will destroy you forever. You must take God's Word and work it into your heart by meditation and prayer. And I say, as you look forward to 2020, you must have a plan for spiritual growth in 2020. And you must put that plan into effect immediately, because if you wait to 2020, it'll never happen. Begin now to study God's Word seriously. Begin now to have a time of prayer with the Lord every day. Begin to study theology and church history. Begin now to set apart a time with the Lord each day and stick with it. And I say this, if you need help or tools, I'm here as your servant for Christ's sake to help you. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for Thy holy Word. It searches us to the depths. It's not a pleasant experience, but what a wonderful thrill it gives to the heart when we know that God is having dealings with us through the Word. Oh, Spirit of God, bless Thy truth to us this day, and we pray that Thou wilt bring forth fruit to life everlasting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.